Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Ross, and this is the big show. You found it. I'm glad you did. Hey, it's Friday. It is Friday. I am super happy. The only thing I'm not really happy about right now is I was just looking out the window here at the studio, and I see that my neighbors, I have two neighbors, and they got, I guess they got a deal or something, but they have the same landscape, like the landscape guys show up, and they do both. They're kitty corner houses, and of course they're, you know, running blowers and weed whips and shit, right, because I'm trying to do a show. What the hell, man? I put my little, I had a neon sign for the window that says, you know, on the air, quiet, and I put that on, so, I don't know, maybe they'll take a break or something, have a lunch. Anyhow, I am super excited. It's Friday. It's a, I like doing these Friday shows. It's kind of a bookend of the week, and, man, we've got a really, really cool guest today. Really cool guest. He is a fantastic, fantastic artist, visual artist. You know me. Of course, that's right in my wheelhouse. And so I love that. But also, he's also a co-producer, co-director, co-writer of the upcoming horror comedy anthology, Party of Darkness. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Mr. Andy Cobble. Hopefully I'm saying it right.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah. No,
hey,
you,
Andy,
you
I hope I didn't
right.
carve up your name. All right.
No, you actually said it correctly. That's rare.
We're cooking with grief today. We're cooking with grief. Hey, couple things. I'm noticing on our page here, folks, that it's andysocialindustries.com. We don't have a link on our show page to your art stuff.
Whoops.
And we're going to change that. I can't change
that's
it
cool.
during the show, but right when we stop, folks, just and stay tuned. I'll put a direct link on all my social media as well. But man, you've got some cool stuff. I really, really dig your art, man. That they live.
Ah, thanks, man.
It's fantastic. Fantastic.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that.
Now,
yeah, that's actually one of the bigger sellers I have is that they live one.
Oh man, that's fantastic! You do prints of them. You do the main one and then do the prints and solo prints and whatnot.
Yeah. When I was doing shows, I do. But I mean, shows have gotten so cost prohibitive now that I really. But you can buy them on my site.
I gotcha. I hear you, man. I hear you. It's I just had a. I'm in South Florida, but I lived in not your neck of the woods, but your side of the world. I will say I lived in San Diego. For about 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I had a gallery. I opened a gallery there. You know, I thought that was the winning move. Boy, was I wrong. I opened that. I'm telling you, I opened it like 2 months before the 2008 financial crisis. Oh, my gosh. Hard to sell paintings to rich people when they're contemplating airy-fairy. It's bad. You know?
Yeah, like... Yeah, you know, when bankruptcy is hanging over your head, it's not too easy to go buy a painting.
Yeah.
Or something.
No, it's a hard sell. I put that thing down for a while. But I have a friend here that just she had to close up shop, you know, and she did the whole thing where she was trying to do framing also, you know, to offshoot the costs. And the problem with that, you know, is you spend so much money on inventory. You know, you got to get all the equipment and all that shit.
And then you could wind up sitting on that inventory too. You just staring at it,
ever.
Hoping it's selling. Yes.
Well, and that's,
I know that.
That's the problem. And I sent her a little note, you know, on Instagram because I knew she was feeling. You know, anytime something doesn't kind of work out, you're gonna feel bad. You know, you try.
Yeah, it's a problem.
And so I sent her a thing, and I'm like, you know, hey, I know your chin's down right now, but if it's any experience like the one I had, every month that goes by that you don't have to write that rent check or the insurance check or any of the other shit, your chin will go up every month.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you hope it does.
Yeah, you know, and all that other shit. Oh, my God. Just insane. But, no, I doing shows is a pain in the ass. People, you know, and especially, I'm sure you run into this, Andy, people that aren't in that biz, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, it's very prestigious to go be in a gal. I'm like, man, that really ties up a painting. You know, I can sell that shit in a week or two. Otherwise,
yeah,
you can sit in the gallery for months.
I can imagine that. I've never really had a gallery thing going on with my stuff, which would be fun to do, but I could imagine if I mean, my stuff's all printed, but having like originals there tied up in a gallery, yeah, that would be kind of a bummer.
Well, and the reality is, and I'm not, folks, this isn't going to be an art rant. I promise you,
No,
just,
sorry.
I've got a fellow artist backed into a corner here, and I don't get that often enough to, you know, talk about
that
kind of stuff. No, what it is really, you know, it's not that bad. The problem with galleries, and this is just the problem as I view it, some people love doing it. You got to give half your money away.
Do you actually pay a percent? So as an artist, as a painter or whatever, if you sell a painting, the gallery does take a percentage of that sale, right?
Oh yeah. And it depends
on
the gallery.
Is it a big chunk or is it
all different?
Okay.
I have had people, I've never did the deal with somebody, but I've had many want 60%.
Most
of the ones I deal with will go like 35, something like that. I think
30%. That's ridiculous. I was thinking 10 to 15 at the most.
No, big chunks. And the other thing is about the gallery is I like, and I'm sure you're this way, when somebody sees they buy one of your prints or whatever. You know, you kind of develop a relationship with that person, you know?
You do.
I'm sure. And the hope, at least in my case, is, oh, well, you know, I got a new office or we redid the place. I'd really like you. You know, I get commission work.
Right.
And I love that. You know, when one sale leads to others and to other work, that's fantastic. The problem with gallery
awesome.
Is they're in the middle of that process. So they don't want you talking to their client. You know what I mean? So you don't.
Interesting.
And they usually have about 100 other painters in there that paintings they're trying to sell. You know, they don't. It's a weird thing. They're all different, and some are great, some not so much. But, you know.
I've never gone down that route, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Consider yourself lucky.
movies are crazy, though.
I had Randy on. I had had Randy on, I don't know, it was a couple of years ago with his dog movie. And
me and Justin Armeo, who you had on, did production design on Like Dogs. So, yeah, definitely very familiar with it.
Yeah, yeah, well, so we had him on, and and he was going through a distributor. I think that's how we met. We used to do a lot of stuff with distributors and whatnot. Still do. But anyhow, he was on and everything. And I told all, you know, I was talking. It was such a crazy movie. And we'd had a party right after he had come on. So he was fresh in my mind. And people are always asking, they're like, so who's been on the show lately, you know? What's been happening?
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I just had this guy and he had this crazy movie and it was on Tubi or something. You know what I mean? It was very easily accessible. And I think the 40 people at that party, probably 38 of them went home and watched that movie.
That's awesome.
Possibly or something. Yeah.
That's awesome.
For months, everybody was talking about what a fantastic film that was and everything. So anyway, we became friends and kind of Facebook friends, you know, social media friends.
Yeah.
And then when I saw him posting about the Party of Darkness, I'm like, oh, this sounds amazing, you know. And get him on and talking, you know. And he was telling me, he's like, yeah, so I wanted to save time and money, so I just got all these other people involved too. I'm thinking to myself, oh, Randy, that's a quicksand trap.
We definitely have a company of people we all work with, like, all the time. And Randy, me, and Justin are definitely three of those people. But there's a bunch of other people that we like to work with, so, yeah.
God, that's a cool. I love that black and white picture. I'm still looking. I got to put the Party Dark page on. The fly guy, the black and white pencil.
Thanks, man.
Such a good piece. Look at the shadow work in there. Oh. Man, this is good stuff.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hard to do.
There's a whole bunch of Mad Magazine that I realize, doing like over 500 of them, that I think Mad Magazine definitely crept into my style quite a bit. So.
Oh, that's a bit how that's cool.
Yeah,
you know.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that. I started doing it just kind of like. What was that?
I just saw this one. Was it Chet or Chuck? I can't remember. From Weird Science?
Oh, Chet. Yeah, Chet. The
older
blob.
Brother.
Yeah.
You're the only
the blob
I've
version.
That did that. You know, that's awesome. Yeah. I've seen a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I actually, when I started doing it, I was doing really only the super obscure stuff because I figure everybody does Jason and Freddy and Chucky, and it gets a little old after a while just seeing the same things. I mean, eventually I did those, but I started doing like only the obscure. In fact, I'm looking at a couple that I'm just finishing up now that are like, there's no way anybody knows this stuff except for me. So it's always kind of cool when somebody else like at a show goes, oh my God, you did that. I've actually met some of the people that have played some of those obscure characters, and they see themselves and they're just like flabbergasted that anybody knows anything they did.
It's phenomenal. That's cool.
Thanks, man.
This is fun stuff. I like this, you know.
Thanks, man.
Stuck painting Marilyn Monroe. So if I have to paint another Marilyn, I shouldn't say that. You know what? People might be like, I love painting Marilyn Monroe. Please send a check. You know, look forward to painting my next one. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I can't. That's the thing. I mean, commissions are tough. I get a lot of people wanting me to do commissions, but they don't look at the things I do. I've had people like ask me to do Japanese like koi fish things, and I'm like, yeah, you're talking to the wrong guy. Like, I think a lot of people just see that you draw something and think, oh, you could do anything. And like, no, that's not true.
I'm telling you. I had somebody, they said, we found this, they found that they were opening a restaurant and they were remodeling it. And they found some picture of like a Dixieland jazz band that played there in like 1917 or something, you know? And
okay,
like,
okay,
we want you to paint this, but like blow it up. And I'm like, you realize there's 28 members of this band, right?
Like, this is going to take me 8 to 9 months.
Head, it's going to take a while, and it's going to be way expensive for your little diner here, you know.
It goes back to the three items of business: the speed, quality, price. You only get to pick two. That's pretty much how it works in any business, including the movie business.
That.
Yeah, speed, quality, price, you only get two. And if you do the math, it does kind of work. Like, I can give you,
absolutely,
like, really fast and cheap, but it's going to suck. So I totally feel you on that one. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny. That is funny. That, and I get people all the time. They're like, yeah, I'd like to buy a print. I would like, you know, and they describe what they want. And so I'm like, okay, well, it's going to be, you know, this much for me to paint that. And they're like, oh, no, I don't want the painting. I just want the print of it. I'm like, well, nobody else was going to want a print of your dog, you know, or a painting of your dog. It's, you know, it's
so... cute
dog.
Yeah,
or I want a T-shirt.
I have,
I'm like,
I have come up against that several times myself. So you're not alone on that.
Oh no, it's just part of it. Well, let me ask you, when you were a kid, I know Justin said he was in Orange County, and I think Randy is.
Yep. I'm in Costa Mesa, California. I grew up in Irvine when it was all orange groves and nothing pretty much out there. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, me and Justin moved out here, I forget the exact year, but we pretty much grew up in the same kind of area, so it was pretty much nothing out here. I mean, now it's a big suburb thing, but, yeah, well, I'm in SoCal.
Nice. So let me ask you then, so as a California kid growing up, I mean, you're kind of in the businesses around you as opposed to, like, growing up in, you know, Omaha, Nebraska or someplace.
Right.
Did you know that art and movies and you were going to be doing something in these veins, like from an early age?
No. I did play soccer for quite a while, and I wanted to be a soccer player for a while until I realized just how good you have to be, and there was no way I was that good. So. But after that, my first thing was music. I really got into music, and I played in several bands, and up until about 6-7 years ago. Yes. And so I did that, but I was drawing when I was a little kid. I was in, like, college-level art classes when I was younger, so I guess I was kind of good, but I never really looked at myself that way. So it was either drawing or music, and then... Yeah, and then you kind of realize, oh, you know, movies are right there, too, but I mean, I've always loved movies, but... But really, at first it was music and drawing for me.
Nice. What were you? What particular instrument, or did you do all kinds of stuff?
In bands I played in, I predominantly played drums. I mean, later on I sang or either screamed on the mic. I don't know if you call it singing. But,
it was mostly
drums. But when we recorded stuff in our house on our old 4-track tape recorder, all our goofy stuff, we'd all pretty much wind up playing everything. You just taught yourself how to do everything. It just kind of happened that way.
I was never in any bands, but I grew up. Everybody I knew I grew up in Metro Detroit, and that was the.
That's the heart of.
That is
the heart of music there.
Oh, and everybody I knew played guitar. And I remember one time I had this gang of friends, and they're like, we're going to make a band. I'm like, well, guys, you can't have 12 guitar players. You know, somebody's going to have to do something else.
Yeah.
And only you want to hear that. No girls want to hear that, you know. But I knew one guy that was a drummer. And the funny thing about – his name was Blaine. The funny thing about Blaine – if he was in, like, I don't know, 20 other bands, you know, because nobody could find a good drummer. And so whatever, you know, he was always doing something, making money. He was the only one I knew that, you know, made money doing this shit. But
that's
a rough gig. A lot of physical stuff with that, you know.
It was a lot of work, and I stopped doing it because it's just – it becomes no fun when after the show you're pretty much breaking down and loading your car and everybody else is drinking and having a great time and you're absolutely
you're
exhausted and sweaty as hell. And I was like, yeah, this kind of sucks. It was still fun. I still love doing it. I miss doing it. I wish I could do it, but you know, having a house and bills and life just kind of moves on. So it happens.
I hear you. Now, did you, you doing the kid thing and whatnot? You got, couple youngsters or anything like that?
No. We have a dog right now. Me and the wife are very happy with just the dog. I am not a kid guy. I don't dislike kids. I always tell people I don't dislike kids. I just don't want them around my stuff.
I hear you, man. I hear you. I have a little niece, and I love being Crazy Uncle Jamie, the fun uncle.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
That is perfect.
That's fantastic.
Yes. There was actually one time a long time ago, my niece, who's now in her 20s, but we took her to Disneyland when she was, I think, 8 or 9. I can't remember. But we had a great time. But the minute she started getting a bad mood, I called my cousin and said, all right, come pick up your kid. But it was really fun.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, my God. Everybody here, my wife is from South Florida, and she grew up a couple blocks from where our house is, and her folks still live over there. But so her whole family worships at the Temple of Disney, I say. And it's a joke, folks, but everybody who lives in Florida likes, well, everybody except the governor, but and a few, one guy 20 minutes north of me. I don't know how long, much longer he's going to own that property. But they all love Disney. And so the other day, I'm sitting here, and I'm all excited for May, the month of May, because I got comp. They're having a big F1 race here, and I got a comp ticket to it. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to the F1 race. And I'm a car guy, so it's kind of, it's kind of my thing.
That's awesome. That'd be fun.
Somebody sent me a thing, and they're like, hey, I know you love this 80s electronic music. Kraftwerk is playing at the Disney arena or whatever, the Disney theater. And I'm thinking, holy shit, in May, I get to go to Orlando and see Kraftwerk and go to the F1 race? And so I'm like, oh, I got to get tickets. Let me look. And I look, it's in L.A. I'm like, oh, no. Anaheim or where, somewhere out there for Disneyland, not Disney World. I'm not flying.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Not for a concert.
No. My wife just did that last year.
It's actually kind of funny.
I don't like
because no, not to fly across the country. No, I'm fine without that. It's actually kind of funny because out here in SoCal, it's a lot like Florida, as in a lot of people grow up like Disney freaks and working at Disneyland or having some connection to it. I still like it, but I obviously can't afford to go. Yeah.
we go. I don't know. My wife goes about every other month, and her and her sister or somebody will go up there. They do that shit. And we were going so much that I'm like, I pointed out to my wife, Danny, I'm like, Danny, here we are at Animal Kingdom again. The goddamn animals are recognizing me, man.
It's like, I don't need to be here anymore.
It's too much.
I've never been out to Disney World. I've only been to Disneyland, so never been there.
Oh, it's hot. You know what's weird, though, is that I find it strange. What was it?
Go ahead. No, I just was laughing. That was pretty much your whole review of Disney World was, it's hot.
Yeah, it is. It gets really hot. But the weird part is it's built on top of like a swamp,
Yep.
I've never seen a mosquito there. I've never seen a bug. And the whole part, I'm like, how do they do? What do they have like? Do they come in here at night and take them all out? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but
I'm sure they have a hell of an exterminating crew.
They have to. I've never seen one.
Yeah, I'm sure they
do. And I've waited in a lot of two-hour-long lines. Oh my God.
You see, so when we had passports here to Disneyland ages ago, I would never wait in a two-hour line. There is nothing that can make me wait in a two-hour line. Not for a ride that I've been on 1,000 times. No, thanks. I'm not going to do that.
That's my point. That's what I told my wife. I'm like, have they changed this up? Are there new attractions to it? Or is it the same that we've seen 15 times? No, it's the same.
Yeah, and you're waiting two hours?
I got good memory. I don't need
Yeah.
Surely there's
so much more stuff I could. Exactly. There's so much more stuff I could be doing with 2 hours rather than standing in a line. No, thanks. That's not for me.
I'm telling you, I knew I had turned into a curmudgeon, though. We were staying at one of the resort things up there, and what was it, the Boardwalk? It was Fancy Dancy Pinky Out Resort. And they have what I call a harumph room. Like you see in old movies where those old men, like in England and stuff, will go into a big room that's all leather and wood and sit around and read newspaper and drink their coffee. They had one of those.
Yep.
And I got to go and sit in it. And be left alone by everybody.
You're like, this is heaven. I love this place.
Actually,
Yes.
Have you been for 2 hours? I'm like in bliss.
Yes. It's kind of funny. The older you get, you realize, oh, you know, some of this older stuff in my parents, I guess they weren't so wrong after all.
No, exactly. It's weird. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Are you worried about your vessel becoming derelict with criminal fines and removal costs? The Florida Vessel Turn-In Program, or VTIP, from the FWC may be able to help. If you or the titled owner have received an at-risk warning or citation and the vessel is floating, go to FloridaVTIP.com and get the details on how this program can remove your vessel at no cost to you. Don't wait until it's too late. Go to FloridaVTIP.com. That's FloridaVTIP.com.
Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
Hey, rockers. This is Stacey Lane Wilson, author and editor of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series. I have a new podcast that features interviews with musicians, artists, authors, filmmakers, and music historians. In season one, I interview Phil Soussan from Ozzy Osbourne's band, Scott Crawford, the director of the Cream magazine documentary, Lisa S. Johnson, the award-winning author and photographer of the books 108 Rockstar Guitars and Immortal Axes, just to name a few. The Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast explores the dark and mysterious and sometimes funny side of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Enjoy on RSS or anywhere you like to listen to podcasts.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. She's a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. So that's cool, man. So let me ask you this. Is your wife also in the movie business and everything? Is she a creative?
No. Me and my wife run a cookie business out of our house. That's predominantly how we try to pay the bills. So that's she loves cooking and yeah, she loves cooking and all that stuff, and she's spectacular at it. So that's what she does. She obliges me to go film with Randy and Justin as much as we can, and she's absolutely cool about everything, about having no problem with me working on all of it. So,
man, you got the cool wife, and you're surrounded by cookies. I say that's
yeah,
a win.
But you know what?
You know?
I got to tell you, it's been 10 years, and the last thing I eat is cookies.
Yeah, I know. But you could if you wanted to.
I could if I want to, but, you know, it's like someone who owns a pizza store. I think the last thing they're going to do is sit home and just eat pizza all day.
That's very true. That's very true. Somebody asked me that. They're like, what do you do for fun? Like, sit around and sketch? I'm like, no. No, I don't. That is not fun for me.
You feel like I wash the car or something.
Yeah. Cut the grass 15 times. I turned into my dad with the lawn. I have definitely done that.
Oh, jeez.
Ooh, I get some. I was just,
luckily
we had a rainy day yesterday. Go ahead.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
I was just saying, luckily we have a dog here that's destroyed our backyard, so there's no lawn here.
Fantastic, too, though. But no, we had a rainy day. And so this morning, I'm doing my morning blog thing, and I'm kind of waiting for the sun to come up. I'm like, ooh. Then I can go, I can mow the backyard. The backyard needs to be mowed, you know, and it rains, so I got to get in there and get that mowed. And I'm like looking so forward to doing this. And I'm like, oh my God.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
You're like, what has happened to me?
Yeah, big enough. I used to go to nightclubs and shit. What is
yeah.
this?
We do the same thing. There's like every month or so, me and about four or five of my oldest friends, like we've known each other for 30 plus years. We just go to a bar or restaurant and hang out for a bit, but we realize we spend the first 20, 30 minutes talking about physical ailments.
Yeah. It's so true. It is.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh my God, I feel so terrible. Or I feel, yeah. It's, and then we're like, what are we doing? What happened to us?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I was talking to one of my old clubbing friends, and they were like, you know, you live in Miami. Why aren't you out at the cool clubs? Like, you used to do that in L.A. all the time. San Diego.
Ugh.
I'm like, I said,
no.
Couple things. I said, I have a wife that I like. That's how you lose a wife, going to nightclubs.
Yes.
And secondly, it's too expensive. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, every time I go out, I got to get the VIP table. They're like, oh, because you're a big
guy.
Yeah,
it's like,
I'm like, no, no. So I can have a place to sit down.
you sound like me. I just want to sit down.
And I'll pay the money for it when I can. Oh, my God.
Yeah, when I was younger, I was a big metal guy. So I was up in Sunset Strip and everything in the 80s going to all those shows. It was really fun.
Rainbow.
And, you know, you go to
Oh,
yeah, it was fantastic. It's all the stories you hear, it was exactly that. But we used to go to shows all the time, and you'd stand up at shows. But recently, me and my wife went to, I think it was Elvis Costello or some show. But everybody was sitting down, and it was just the best show I've ever been to. It was only because
I
could just sit down.
That reminds me so much. Many, many years ago, this was a million years ago, David Bowie was albums. And he was going through, and this is going to be the last time he's playing his old stuff. That was the pitch, you know. And so fuck, we got to go. It's fucking Bowie, you know. And I was telling this girl.
Hell yeah.
And so, you know, she got all dolled up like she were of the SS or something. You know, she was into that look. And, you know, put on her plastic gear and away we went to the concert. And we got there, and it was all these people my parents' age, and they were all sitting down smoking weed. The whole theater, like the whole arena. We're like,
everybody's just sitting down.
Like,
I love that.
The show.
I would be so excited if I walked into that.
Yeah, now I would be. At the time, I'm like,
yeah,
but
like, that's just the dream come true. Like, you mean I can watch a great show and just sit down and relax? Oh, this is awesome.
The last concert I went to, my wife, you know, she's a millennial, but she's like an early millennial. So she grew up in basically the 90s. She's a 90s girl. And,
She's not quite a millennial. She's better than that.
But anyway, you know.
We'll leave it at that.
The Billie Eilish in the car, you know. I mean, but I smile. I don't bitch about it. A lot of auto-tune bands she listens to. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
There was one of these where they have like, I don't know, 20 bands, you know, and it's not, and it's like classic bands, and it's like a show thing. It like one of them
was
Katrina of the Waves, not Katrina and the, because it was none of the Waves, it was just Katrina, you know.
So
one of those. Deals.
So she pretty much played one song, and that was she got off stage.
Yeah, exactly. And well, one of the bands they had there was Ace of Base, and they were a big band.
Oh, God.
My wife, apparently, you know, when she was 12 years old, that was her jam, and still is, apparently. So they were having this
thing,
and the radio station I listened to, if you called in, you could win tickets. So I called in, and lo and behold, I won the tickets, and I'm like,
holy moly.
It was right before our anniversary, and I'm like, oh, look at this. Look at, thank you, universe, you know?
Like, just perfect, yeah.
Party start. Yeah, it was great. So until, because the universe, ladies and gentlemen, can be fickle. It can, you think you've won, right, in this scenario. And in a way,
oh, yeah.
I had.
I've been through
in
that.
In a way, I hadn't. So I get the ticket, and it's great, and I'm a superstar. And then we go to the event, and it's so packed. It's shoulder to shoulder at this place. It's open air. It's South Florida, so it's hot, just like Disney, and humid. And it's just everybody's kind of having to breathe at the same time. That's how packed this place was. You know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it seemed like it.
No, I get you, though. I got
you. We're there, I don't know, for, you know, about 25 hours, it seems like. And I asked my, I'm like, what time is it? You know, when can we get the hell out of here? And she's like, well, I really want to see Ace of Base. You know, that's why we're here. And they go on at 11. And I said, well, what time is it now?
Like,
and she, you know, looks at her phone, because I don't carry a phone, because I'm not cool or anything, people. I just don't want to pay for it. And I tend to lose things and break things. So
no, I got you. I got you.
You know, I'm an old man. Anyway, she looks at her phone. And she's like, well, it's 7:30. And I'm like, 7:30?
I got 3.5 hours?
Jesus Christ.
Like,
oh,
am I going to do for 3.5 hours? Yeah.
Yeah, it was torture. But, you know, you had to stay. I mean, I set this thing up, you know, so.
You're the one who started it. You have to finish it. Yep.
Oh, my God. It was the worst. That was the last time. She's been to a bunch since then, you know. She's like, well, my girlfriends want to go to this. I'm like, have fun. Here, you need some money? What?
Yeah,
how can I go in this endeavor?
I went to so many shows.
Are you going to be okay at home? I'm like, yeah.
I'm like, hell yeah. Be super okay.
It's going to be great.
I went to so many shows in the 80s that, honestly, I think I saw pretty much every band I wanted to see. And there's very few bands I want to see still, and if I do, they're old, and I don't know if I really want to ruin my image of bands when they're older. I don't know. Not like all of them are bad, but, you know.
I just had this conversation with her parents. Her parents are big hockey fans, and the hockey team here is the Florida Panthers, and they play at a big stadium. And then when they're not playing, they have bands. You know, I'm a big band, Aerosmith and, you know, all kinds of people. Well, anyway, they were having Duran was going to play. And
yes,
like, hey,
but honestly, they're spectacular,
though. They're like, oh, yeah, you know. They're like, we know you're a huge Duran fan, and we can get you what they call this Club Red thing, or I don't know what the hell they call it. It's the VIP thing where you get food and stuff, and it's, you know, yeah. And they're like, we can get you this. And I had the same thing you just said almost verbatim. I'm like, I have really good memories of seeing them, you know, in 1984. I'm good, thanks. It's like a box seat, it's a lounge. And I'm like, yeah, that's okay, you know.
Yeah, for the most part, I'm not into seeing the bands as they've gotten older. There are some bands that are still, I mean, still great. And honestly, Duran Duran is one of the bands that's still pretty damn good. But as a general rule, I'd rather just remember the band as I remember them and kind of go with that.
Exactly. And And it isn't, I don't know, you know, I don't know enough about them to make this statement, but I'll make it anyway. I don't think that they lived as fast as, like, say, Vince Neil from Motley Crue. You know what I mean?
Well,
I don't think they started out ridiculously good looking. They're probably still pretty good looking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call Vince Neil living fast or just living stupid. I mean, like... I think the guys in Duran Duran are probably a little smarter than Vince Neil.
Some kale once in a while or some shit. You know?
Yeah. I don't think Vince Neil's ever walked by like an ice cream stand that he hasn't eaten at for a couple hours.
No. And I'm not making fun, folks. If you've seen pictures of me, you're like,
I'm the same way, but I'll definitely make fun of them. That's fine. They can make fun of me. I don't care.
So I was in Vegas. I have a Vince Neil story. I was in Vegas. I don't know. This was, what was it, 2010 or some shit? And I was visiting a friend.
Okay.
And he got busted for a DUI, like, right outside her house, like just down
Jesus.
The block.
This is the guy that had a DUI who, and he killed the drummer of Hanoi Rocks way back when.
Yeah,
jeez. And he's still getting DUIs.
Well,
it's so sad. So sad.
For this DUI. And then everybody was freaking out because he was supposed to be playing it. I don't know. The Rio was still going then or some shit. It wasn't like a go.
All right.
But anyway, he was supposed to be doing a show. But he got a DUI. And everybody was pissed. Like, because they're, you know, the waiters and waitresses and everybody.
Well, yeah, because you spent money.
Yeah, you know. And so it was a big deal. So I couldn't believe, only in Vegas would this happen. They took him from jail under deputy guard, and he did the show, and then they took him right back to jail. I'm like,
Geez. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's definitely, that doesn't happen everywhere.
No, that never happened in Detroit.
I couldn't see that happen in Detroit.
No, like Thunderdome, if you went in, you know, it was questionable if you were coming out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God, I'm having so much fun, and we are so far afield. Folks, I'm so sorry.
I know, I'm sorry.
Focus here. No, it's my fault. It's my fault. I'm supposed to be... I got my hand on the steering wheel here now.
Okay, do it.
So
steer us away.
Here's the thing, folks. Party of Darkness is this cool anthology. It's horror comedy. It is, from what I have seen and the people I've talked to involved, it's like what I remember from the 80s, like Creepshow, these cool anthologies that I miss,
yep.
You know, that just aren't out there. And so all these fantastic directors and stuff wrote and – they each have it. And Andy, you did the Ding Dong Dead segment.
Ding Dong
right?
Dead, which is basically, yes, which is something that, well, I mean, it's obviously an exaggerated version of something that we did in high school. But yes, that Ding Dong Dead is the one that I wrote and directed and shot out in Rough Out Ranch. That was great.
Jeez,
it's awesome.
Job
I mean,
in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's super fun. All of our shorts we've done, which actually, at first it was kind of a pain, but now I'm actually really proud of all of us. We've shot all these shorts in pretty much one day. And when we go back through and we've edited a bunch and looked at them, I mean, a lot of it helps because Matt Leal, our director of photography, and a lot of these is just freaking spectacular. And our sound people, Rebecca and Matt Festel, they're just also just crazy good. So it helps to have good people that make you look better. But, yeah, we've shot all these in one day, and they've come out spectacular. I mean, I'm really proud of all of them.
That's amazing. Well, you guys are doing an Indiegogo campaign. Now, the film, as I understand it, Justin was telling me, the film is in the can, as you movie types like to say. It's you know.
or we just say finished.
Finished, yeah.
Shot. How about that?
Nearly as exciting, Andy. That's not nearly as exciting.
I'm sorry. I know. I'm terrible at lingo.
I'm, you know, come on. We're trying to get you these Malibu parties here, man. Come on.
I'm kidding. I don't know if I want to go to those.
You can bring your wife can sell some cookies there, you know.
We could just sell cookies. Go to those parties. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Cookie business. Andy, my wife has a crystal business. I was telling Justin, there's so many crystals in my house.
I listened to that
Superman
episode. Yeah.
Oh, it is so true.
Well, that's
I'm just surrounded.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
Yeah, so
that's they don't talk.
That's the thing about running a whole business. You do live your business. That's kind of what you do. So anyway, yes, we shot everything in one day. I'm very proud of everybody. It's great. We do have an Indiegogo campaign going right now, so it's not like we don't need funds to complete this. Like, it's very expensive to make movies, and it's very hard. And the phrase that it's a miracle that any movie gets done is very true. It's a lot of moving parts, and when one person is footing the majority of the bill, a.k.a. Randy, it's very hard to get these things done.
Exactly. We don't need Randy getting a divorce and having to come over to Andy's house and sleep on a futon. We gotta, you know, keep this going, man.
Although I don't know. Randy's got a lot of cool stuff, so I don't know.
I heard.
Yes.
Full-size Han Solo.
Yes, and a full-size Boba Fett in his office, and it's definitely fun to go to edit at Randy's office.
Oh my god, I knew a guy in San Diego who had he was an indie filmmaker, and he had his office set up. He had done something, and if I'm getting this wrong, and he ever hears this, I apologize. From what I remember, he had done something with Jurassic Park way back in the day. And his whole office was set up like a Jurassic Park. Like, there was a velociraptor coming out of the wall.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
He had a sound booth that looked like a telephone booth, but it had, like, all this ivy and shit all over it. And that was so cool. I'm kind of jealous, you know. If somebody tells
Heck
me
yeah.
Randy has a full-size Tron arcade game, I'm just going to lose
he
it
does.
And move to California.
He does.
Oh, my God.
The last time I saw it, which was when we were doing we had our production meeting for the last short we shot that I think Justin told you about, the Unable to Comply, which was our last one. But the last time I saw it, the Tron machine is in the garage. I don't think it works right now. You could probably call and ask Randy, but yeah, Randy has that as well. So you may be moving out here.
I'm telling you. I'm looking around the studio. I'm like, I could get rid of the deep freeze. Do we really need it? Could we put it outside? You know, I mean, no, we can't do that. Rains every day here. I keep forgetting. Unlike California. What's happening, folks, is this money that, and you can be a part of this. You can be a part of this film. You can invest.
Yes.
Everybody's getting your and all that, you know. Yeah, you could go blow it and whatnot, or invest it, you know?
Yes.
Help make a
and
movie.
How cool
is that?
And you get to help make a movie, but also you get – I mean, we got some really cool perks there. And just like Justin was telling you, if you want a perk, we'll go ahead and work it out with you. But we got a lot of cool perks, like including props and just chances to go to premieres. And it's a lot of cool, fun stuff. Like, we are constantly coming up with new ones. So I think I believe the Indiegogo only runs until the 15th, so it's about wrapped up. But man, we still need help, like in a good way.
That's amazing. Well, folks, get on it, man. Get on it. We do have a link up to that, and I will be sharing that, you know, everywhere as well. I gotta ask, Andy, did you do the main poster artwork on here?
Randy actually did that poster, and it's fantastic, isn't it?
Really?
I love it. Yeah, I did not do the poster because
brick work and shit. Jesus,
yeah,
that's a lot of work.
It's great. Yeah. We've been talking about maybe doing. I've been kind of shooting around the idea of doing an individual poster for every short, which is I think what we're going to wind up doing as things get closer. So we may be going that route as well. That's It's definitely not the last poster to come out. We just consider it kind of a teaser poster at the moment. But it came out great. Like, Randy did such a good job on it. Such a good job on it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And had that light coming out of there, out of the door. Man, that's hard to do, folks. I'm telling you.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff when commission work comes in and they say, hey, could you do that? No. Yeah.
Oh, boy. No.
We're going to pay you this. Yeah, do it.
Yeah, I could give advice to anybody who wants to get a commission. Anybody who ever wants to get a commission done from an artist, just make sure you look at what they do and just ask for what they do. Don't ask for something that they don't do. There's no way for me to be nice to you and just tell you, hey, I don't do that. Like, what are you asking me that for? Like, I don't do tattoos. What are you talking about?
Or they call and change it halfway. Well, could I? I was thinking about it. Blah 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 blah. I could tell you. We could spend an hour telling stories here.
Honestly, yeah, we probably could.
Somebody wants translucent waves. They're like, I found this painting.
What?
It was painted in 1862. Can you do a ship and it had translucent waves? And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it.
That's not what I do.
No, it ain't happening.
Yeah, like, have you looked at what I do? Like, just look. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. Just look at what I do.
God, I had somebody want a Giger.
I know,
can you do, like, a Giger biomechanical? And I'm like,
what?
Yeah, I can, but not for this price. You know?
Yeah.
What's happening, man?
Well, or it's the same speed quality pricing. Right. Or it's the same speed, quality, price thing. It's the, yes, I can do that, but you are. It is going to be a piece of shit.
Right. That's my big thing. Have you heard of pop art? Because that's what we're doing here. It's going to look like a comic book.
Exactly.
And there's a reason for that. You guys do have, folks, they have all kinds of really cool tiers here. And, you know, you can do it. It's from, like, what's the... $5 is the cheapest one, and you get a cool sticker and whatnot. But that's great, folks. That's great. You can get a DVD and all this and that. But I'm telling you, if you get that tax return back, scroll on down here a little bit and sponsor a segment. You know?
Yes. There are some really cool heavy perks in there that are awesome. Like it's you're definitely you're helping a really good movie get done. And B, you get some good stuff in return. It's not like you just kind of throw it to the wind and get nothing back.
Right. And that's one of the cool things I like about these crowdfunding things like Indiegogo.
Yeah, me too.
Like
me
that.
Too,
you,
man.
You get something for it, you know?
I mean, it's just totally changed everything. I mean, it's really hard to run a successful Indiegogo campaign. Successful as in, like, super lucrative. I don't think you ever go into it thinking, oh, I'm going to make all my money back from this. It's not going to happen. But it's such a great tool to have, and it helps out so much. Like, I know people say it, but I don't think you really know until you do one of these movies, like, the amount of work that goes into this. It's pretty insane. Oh. Like, movies are kind of the ultimate collaborative process. It's photography, it's writing, it's music, it's light, it's every medium you can think of all trying to come together to finish one goal. And it's not easy. It's just not easy.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, and this looks amazing. You know, this doesn't – I've watched the trailer. I haven't seen the movie yet.
I have.
No folks yet, but – Oh, I have. Of course, because you're one of those fancy Hollywood guys, you know. Of course you are.
No, yeah, right.
Hollywood's got a fancy lunch too. And,
I had a fancy lunch of bagels. Yeah, it was pretty fancy.
Yeah. Your wife's there with big sunglasses, the dog in the purse.
Oh, sure, yeah, just sitting by the pool. Oh yeah, of course, of course, that's us.
You're over there reading Variety, smoking a big cigar.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I have my smoking jacket on, and yeah.
Wearing a beret or some pencil thin mustache. I'm teasing.
I have so many berets. You're right.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Drugs and alcohol have real effects on your ability to drive. In fact, last year more than 800 people died in impaired driving crashes in Florida. DUIs are costly and you will lose your license. You may even face jail time. DUIs will stay on your record for 75 years. Driving while impaired has real consequences. Impairment is no illusion. Never drive impaired. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us. www.jamierocks.us.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store, it's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers shrine clothing and alchemy gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
My Love Shack Apothecary online shop has everything you need to build a special gift for yourself or someone who needs a little pampering. I hand make all of the products in small batches using only plant-based ingredients and therapeutic-grade essential oils. Whether you choose one of my curated sets or want to build a custom gift set, My Love Shack Apothecary has everything you need to send a little sunshine to someone today. Please visit us online at www.loveshackapothecary.com. That's www.loveshackapothecary.com, as well as online on Instagram and Facebook. Links are in our website.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Rocks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
You know, it was kind of weird. When I first, I think I was telling Randy or Justin, I can't remember. When I first went to Burbank for the first time, I thought that's what it was going to be like. I'm like, you know, I expected to see people in golf carts and people carrying napkins back and forth and stuff.
Nope.
I showed up and I'm like, it's just a bunch of buildings.
It's
inside the buildings.
It's super boring looking.
Yeah, but it, look what you guys make. You know, this is so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. It's an absolute blast to make them. I can't, and a lot of it helps just because our crew is. I can't even explain how good our crews are. And these are mostly students and a lot of people just starting out. I mean, some of the people we work with are just, like, astoundingly good. And we're so lucky in that respect. Like, we can never thank them enough just for all the work they do. Like, without them, honestly, it's virtually impossible.
Well, I'd say it's – there's such a almost a mythology with movie making. And I think, you know, me and my wife, we're not even in the movie business. And I remember that Face Off show that was on Vice. I used to watch that every week.
Yeah,
you know, fascinating.
We actually had a couple friends. We had a couple, not friends. One of the girls that was in Bloodsucker Jones actually was one of the makeup models in that show. So we're very familiar with that show.
There you go. And
yeah.
It's just so cool. You know, it is so cool.
It's great.
Cool. I'm like, what?
Yes.
It's way more fun than painting. Are you kidding me?
I like drawing still. I love it.
No, it's all right, but it's not.
I love
it's
your
cool,
it's
but
all right.
Yeah.
I think it's super cool. I cannot paint to save my life, so I think it's super cool.
I don't know. You know, it's like I guess it's the grass is always greener. But the cool thing about this, what I wanted to say is the trailer. This does not look like this was shot, you know, with somebody's phone in their backyard or something. You know,
yes.
Pretend to make a movie. This is an actual movie. I mean,
it is.
You know.
And honestly, and again, I mean, we use the best equipment we can possibly afford. And a lot of it's Randy's equipment. And Randy's just so good with equipment stuff. But so much of this credit goes to, like I said before, Matt Leal, our director of photography on a lot of these. It's like him and everybody that works on camera is just like me and Justin could just sit there. We'll just look at the shots and we just like when they're in the middle of acting, we'll quietly look at each other like, oh, my God, this looks so good. Like, it's just fascinating even to us. Like, it looks so good. And it's just, like, again, can't thank these people enough. Like, it's awesome.
Well, I'm telling you. And, folks, get involved with this at the very least. You know, hey, I get it. Maybe life is full of peaks and valleys.
Oh,
maybe
yes.
You're in a valley. it won't last forever. But what you can do to help this particular project, at the very least, if you're broke as a joke or something, like and share the thing. Help get the word out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hopefully your friends aren't broke too. You know?
Honestly, none of us are swimming in money. Not one of us.
No.
We pretty much do this because we love it. And we hope other people see it. So if you share it, the hardest thing about movies is it's not hard to get your friends and family to see it. The hardest thing is getting stranger eyes on it. You know what I mean? Like, and
absolutely.
That's where it becomes most valuable is people we don't know seeing it. And it's so hard to do without some kind of distribution help. So just clicking and sharing is the help we need.
Absolutely. Well, you remember that world from your band days. You know what I mean?
Yep. Honestly, it's the exact same thing. I could get family and friends to go, but nothing will run unless I can get strangers to show up. And it's so hard. It's just so hard to convince anybody to do anything.
Oh, man. Including run the merch table. Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. that's why bands do it themselves.
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. You have to. I started doing merch because of my friends and bands. I go to all these shows and I'm like, I'm seeing people buy shirts and shit. I'm like, I could have a merch table. I've had galleries freak out. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm setting the merch table up.
Heck yeah.
You know?
Honestly, I post all my stuff on TeePublic. It's under Andy Social Industries.
Mm-hmm.
There's a site called TeePublic and there's a site called Redbubble that I post my stuff at. So
you can go
get T-shirts, mugs, stickers, everything that I do. So if you go to those sites and just look up Andy Social Industries, you'll see all my stuff. And those places are great because what you do is submit your stuff and then they print it and ship it. Yeah. Like I only get a cut of it, but that's fine. At least it's some kind of eyes on it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Exactly.
So Yes. And
oh, man.
I wish there was a place like that for movies, but there's really not. It's just YouTube,
right.
And hoping that people, like you said, hoping people share links and just say, hey, I saw this trailer for an independent thing. It looks real cool. You should check it out. That's it. That's all we need.
Absolutely.
Like at the very least, that's a huge help. It's a huge help.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. It is fantastic. And it's such a cool opportunity. You know, that's what I'm saying, you know, because
Yep. Here's
the thing, folks. This movie will come out. It'll become a big cult classic. You'll go to every convention, every con, and you'll see if they have a big booth and all this and that. And that's great. And, you know, and you'll tell people, yeah, I heard about that, you know, when they were doing the Indiegogo, when they were doing the crowdfunding, and none of your friends will.
Yep.
They're like, yeah, whatever, dude. You know, are you kidding me? Sure you did. And then you're like, wait a second. Here's my IMDb because I sponsored a second, and, you know, I've got a producing credit on here now. So, for a segment, I should say. And, yeah, so shut up. Here it is. Here's the proof.
Yeah, the whole sponsor segment thing is awesome. It's a great perk. And any segment you want to sponsor, or you could just go through and sponsor the whole thing if you wanted to. But either or, it's I don't know, there's just so many great perks. Like, we've all worked, not all, Randy's done the lion's share of the work, I can't say we've all, but worked really hard on getting good perks for everybody, so it's not just like, you know, oh, yeah, a Blu-ray. Like, that's not the only thing we offer. Like, we offer a lot more.
Right. Well, absolutely. Randy's got a Tron machine in his garage, folks. That's all I'm saying. And a full-size Boba Fett in his office. Come on, man.
However, the Tron machine doesn't work, so let's not get too excited.
That's true. Even just having the thing would be cool, man, wouldn't it? Oh, my wife would be
honestly,
so mad. Office and it doesn't work? What the hell is wrong with
I have
you?
A bit,
oh, it's a conversation I don't even want to have.
I gotta say though, every time I go over and I look at it, I'm like, oh god, this thing is so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. I just want to see it lit up. I love that thing.
Oh yeah, I'm telling you, I spent a lot of quarters and then it got to a point where I didn't spend hardly any. I got that good. In my mind, when I walked into the arcade and saw the Tron machine, like the good, bad, and the ugly music played, you know, whatever it was, you know.
It's a showdown between you and the machine now.
Come on, MCP. You're going down. tanks, no problem. Oh, you're going to put 16 of them on me? Not a problem.
I got it.
I know how to spin the turret. You got him out of flashback. Anyhow. This is so cool. And, folks, again, AndySocialIndustries.com, that is where, you know, to get over and see some of Andy's artwork and whatnot, in addition to going to the Party of Darkness Indiegogo page. We have links. We will have Andy's direct link up here momentarily when we finish up the show. But, it's so cool. It is so cool.
Thanks, man. What was that?
I'm just looking again at the unable to comply picture, and I'm like, I really want my studio to look like that, like I'm in a spaceship. How hard could that be to make? We could do it.
Honestly, it's just, you know, your best friends, I could tell you right now, you have two stores that are going to be your best friends. Goodwill and Home Depot are going to – if you want to make stuff look – you just have to be inventive. Like a lot of the flooring there, I'm not going to tell you what it was. But you would go there and go, I never thought of this. That place was so cool, by the way. So cool. It's called Laurel Canyon Stages, and it was so cool. The people there were nice, and it was great. It was great.
Man, somebody was thinking, that's a brilliant business idea, man.
Yep.
Anyway, or you could do an Airbnb if you wanted to, folks, and lose all your money.
If you want.
Tear it up and throw up everywhere. You don't want that.
You don't want
to
do that.
Make a movie studio. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I would do. cool is that? How cool. So that's cool, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
Andy, I'm telling you, I know people in out west there in the greater L.A. area. I'm sure you guys ship all over the place, too. Send me a link to your wife's cookie thing, and I'll blast that out,
I will.
Too, you know?
I will. Yeah. So yes, it's Lucky 13 Sweets and Treats, and we ship everywhere, and we make everything. I'm in markets.
Great.
You could come to Anaheim on Thursdays and Huntington on Tuesdays. Come talk to me about movies and stuff and buy stuff. I'm all over it. Or you can go to Andy Social Industries on TeePublic and Redbubble, buy some mugs and T-shirts, and then you go to Party of Darkness and you sponsor a segment. You could do all sorts of stuff. There's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's what I was just talking to somebody. They were talking to me about Southern California and the people there and whatnot. And I told them, I said, they were talking about collaboration and just being around, being inspired. And I'm like, that's one of the things in Southern California that I remember most when I moved there is you meet all these people, just random people.
Yep.
But everybody you meet is doing some shit. You know, they're not talking about they're doing it. And so you better get on the ball and do something too. Otherwise, you look like a flop. You can't be hanging out with these people. You're not doing something.
It's like,
you know?
I hear just in life, you hear a lot of people complaining, oh, this isn't happening and this isn't happening. But you just kind of – I know Justin talked about it some. And you just got to kind of go and make things happen for yourself at some point. And I know when Justin wrote the first Blood Suck at Jones, like he came to me and came to all of our friends. And it was just – we just wanted to do this. Like, let's just give this a try. What's the worst that can happen? It's a failure and we never do anything again and we just go on with our lives.
Yeah,
but
at least you tried.
We can, yes, at least we can go to our deathbed and say, hey, man, we gave it a shot and it was fun. We had a good time. Like, it's not even
right. –
yes, making money would be spectacular. It'd be great to quit everything else and just do this. But it's also just – yeah, like, things aren't going to happen unless you go out there and make them happen, especially the older you get. Like, I'm in my 50s now. We all are. And it just doesn't happen unless you go chase it. It just simply won't. I don't mean to be a downer, but it just won't happen unless you make it happen.
Exactly. And that's in any business. You're doing, folks,
podcasting, all this stuff, all of it.
There's this mythology of I can't remember who it was, Betty Grable or somebody, the actress that had moved to Hollywood and she was at the soda fountain and then.
I forget who that is too. Know. Who is that? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everybody thinks that's the lottery win. That is the one in a million. Never happened type deal. Everybody else works their ass off. Everybody's like, oh, I want to be famous. Well, get to work.
Yeah.
you gotta do something. And, you can dance on TikTok, but that ain't fine infinity pools, that's all I'm saying. If that's your goal.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just have to like Justin was saying on his episode when he was going on auditions and stuff and just realize, hey man, like, this ain't going to happen unless – why don't I just make it happen for me? And you know what? I know we don't make money doing this, really.
Right.
We just do it because we love it. But the thing is, we get to do it because we just did it. We just did it.
Right.
We just got sick of waiting.
And you flip that. You flip all the money you make into the next project. That's at least what –
of course.
In my world, that's how it happens.
Yeah. You have to. You have to. I mean, we would never do anything else if we didn't do that.
Exactly. And it's weird too. It's not the easiest route in the world. I don't want to ruin anybody's parade that wants to do whatever, but there's some perks for working for somebody else. Health insurance.
Yes.
That's nice to have.
Yes.
And when you're paying for Blue Cross yourself. Oh, Jesus. It gets expensive.
That's what you should try insurance on a movie set and all the liability. Oh my Lord. The amount of paperwork is ridiculous.
Well, that's what was my thought too. I'd kind of been following when all that Rush shit happened. My first thought with that is I felt bad for the indie movie makers because I'm like, oh, they got that stain on them now, that's insurance rates just tripled.
Totally. No, they totally did. I'm sure they did for every movie set. Every set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but you got to do it. Here's the other thing, too, that people don't get that aren't in the creative world. They're not making movies or band, whatever, art.
people like Andy, people, whoever you know in the creative realm, have to do this shit, man. If they aren't doing it, they're going to be in a
honestly,
cell somewhere. You know?
It is totally true. Like I love drawing. I absolutely love it. Like I was up last night till 3:30 just drawing, mainly because I just love doing it. But if I find like streaks where I don't do it, and you could ask my wife, she'll let you know. If I find streaks where I don't do it or I'm not doing something creative, it literally does put me in the worst mood. I do go nuts. I just go nuts. Yeah.
And it's insidious. It's like you feel like Rare Rabbit with the tar baby. You can't get away from, you know, that depression just pulls you down. It's like getting out of quicksand or something, you know. It's hard to get out of that mode, you know.
Yes,
it's person I know.
Yeah, you are totally right. It is so hard to get out of that mode. So hard to get out. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and you know it's easy to say, oh, I'm gonna shake this funk, you know.
You can through perseverance. I mean, it's like any kind of form of, I guess, any depression or anything where you're just not feeling the greatest. You will get through it, but you'd have to be persistent about it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I tend to grouse a lot, and I'll never forget.
We all do.
I hadn't even asked my wife to marry me at the time. This is like back when we were just, you know, we were living together, but, you know, there wasn't anything legal. If we got into a big fight, it was real easy to end that, you know.
Yes.
You're never there.
No, but I
got you. Get the wrong idea. But I was grumpy.
No, I got you.
Something. Somebody had changed a painting commission for the 80th time or something. You know, I was pissed about something. And I know people are like, oh, you always seem so happy online when you post and stuff. Like, yeah, I am.
Well,
but,
of course you do.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Of course.
Yeah. This is reality we're talking, folks. This ain't Instagram. It isn't just sunshine and roses all the time. Anyhow, my wife just looked at me and she said, well, they paid you the money, so you got to finish this one. And then I guess, you know, we can go to Pizza Hut and you can put an app in, you know, start making pizzas.
You could.
And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Well, you're bitching a lot. And I'm like, zip, I am not bitching anymore.
But I mean, you are allowed to complain. I mean, that's the thing is, yes, it's nice being busy. Yes, it's nice getting work. But it's also nice when people treat you normal. you are allowed to complain a little bit. Come on.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, it's so funny. Yesterday, so we had a whole shit ton of, we had to go to the accountant, all that. We had a whole day.
Yay.
Shit we had to do.
How fun.
Yeah. And so before we went, I'm like, well, I got to take the dog out to, you know, so she can do her business because she's going to be in the workshop all day while we're gone. And and she's got a, you know, it's a big room in here, so she's fine. But so I take her out and it starts raining. And I have this prissy dog, doesn't want to potty in the rain. I'm standing there. I had just gotten dressed to go do all these errands. You're supposed to just go outside and potty and then come back. That was the plan. And, you know, she's taking forever. And, oh, my God, she wouldn't potty. You know, it was a big thing. I come in and I'm just pissed. I'm just grousing. I'm like, my wife's like, what's the matter? You know, what's going on here? And I'm like, the effing dog, blah, blah, blah. You know, and like, just calm down. She's reading your energy. So, and she gives me this big lecture on how the dog's picking up my energy and all this shit. Anyway, so I don't say anything. I change. I'm like, okay, well, if the dog potties in the workshop, she potties in the workshop. Cleaned up when we get back.
Yep.
So
be it. Yeah.
Go and do our errands. Yeah. Had to. You know, we had time, you know, appointments. So we go do our errands and everything, come back. And I'm like, well, we got to take the dog out. You know, that's the first. She didn't potty this morning. She has to go out. You know, that's my big concern. So
I have so been down this road. I totally get it.
yeah, you know. And so I was like, look, I'll do the dog, you know, because now it's nice out. The sun's out and every, you know what I mean? So it's no problem.
Of course,
yeah. Let's do it. She's like, I'll take May and I'll take her to potty and you do, because I had to, painting had sold and I had to email the person, all this shit. She goes, you handle the sale thing. I'm like, okay.
So I'm doing that, and she takes the dog out, you know, to go potty. And I, again, folks, the universe likes to have fun, you know? Out of nowhere, big storm cloud rolls in off the ocean there, and just it just drops rain on the dog and her outside.
That's
comes
funny.
In. You know, and finally, about 15 minutes later, she stayed out. I will give her credit. She stayed out there until the dog party. She comes in, and she's pissed. You know, just it's like a wet cat or something. She's not happy. And I'm like, me being a smartass, then this is just stupid. I shouldn't have said nothing. I should have just kept my mouth shut.
Uh-oh.
And not said a word.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like,
what's the matter, dear?
What's the matter? Is the dog picking up on your negative energy?
Oh, shit.
Oh,
you stepped in it. You stepped in it on that one.
Yeah. That was the wrong move. what did the Whopper say? The only winning move is not to play.
It's not to play. Yes. Sometimes it's best just to shut up.
I'm telling you. It was funny. Anyhow. And that's a peek behind the curtain of our business. Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Well, that's cool. That is cool. Folks, Party of Darkness. You've got to get involved with this. It's going to end soon, and then you're going to miss your opportunity. So don't let that happen.
Yes.
Click right on it. And there we go, man. There we go.
It's super fun. We've seen the cut of everybody short, and even in the rough cuts, it's coming together super fun. Like, we're very happy with it. There's very few things that I have acted in, and I'm in the wraparounds, where I actually don't hate myself on screen, and this is actually one of the times. So
that's cool, man. That's very rare.
And
accomplishment. You know, there's not that much room on your business cards now, Andy, but you could put...
I know there is.
Thespian, you know? On there. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's super fun. We have a great theme song that's done by one of our friends. Benji Phonic is his name. He's on all sorts of platforms. He's already done the theme song. The theme song's fantastic. One of the perks is getting a free copy of that. And there's just so much stuff you can get. If you just go check it out, go check out the video that we made where we all talk about what's what, and it's fun. I don't know. This is the most fun we've had making a movie yet.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, if everything goes into place like it's supposed to, you know, I'm sure you guys can do it again, you know.
Hopefully.
Randy hit an aneurysm. I will
get a text from him right after this, like, oh my god, don't even mention.
Oh man, no, it's like I preface that, Randy, with everything falling into place correctly and whatnot. So, you know.
Yeah, it's looking real good, and any help is appreciated. We would love any help you can give. It's fantastic.
That's awesome. And, folks, I made a new friend, Mr. Andy Cox.
There you go.
So I'm going to have Andy back on the show. And
cool.
We'll just have a show where we just talk about how cool it is being 50, you know, and all the cool shit we
I am super down for talking about anything, music or drawing or anything is great. Right now I am totally focused on Party of Darkness, but anytime you want to have me back on, I'm in.
I'm telling you, I want to hear some of those Rainbow Room stories, you know. Because I'm telling you, Andy, you were living the life. I was in Metro Detroit watching Headbangers Ball every Saturday night.
Yep.
Going,
that was us.
I got to get to L.A. Look at these
and,
people.
And that was us.
But no, but, you know, that was you guys, you know, living
that
life.
I was up there, and at the same time, me and Justin didn't know each other then, but he was up in the same shows, the same thing. Yeah, it was. It was everything you see about it. It was that fun. It was such a blast. I do miss those days.
See, I missed that whole thing. I got to L.A. It was mid to late 90s.
It's terrible.
Yeah, everybody was like singing with an acoustic guitar in a coffee shop.
Oh, God.
Like, we're the dominatrixes in spandex. Come on, people. Shit.
You miss those days.
You're ruining my dream. That's what everybody told me. They're like, oh, that's 15 years ago, Jamie. Are you kidding me?
Damn it.
I know.
It was pretty fantastic. It was pretty fantastic because we were all underage, but nobody carded anywhere, so you can go anywhere. It was the 80s. Nobody cared. As long as you walked in with a bunch of people, nobody gave a crap.
Yeah, and you weren't causing a big fucking thing. You weren't setting fire in
No, you're just having a good time being stupid. Just being stupid and having a good time.
Exactly. They let the band set the fire. I'm kidding. Don't come and email people. Jeez.
No, it's true. Anyway. It's true.
Hey, we all survived. Andy, yeah. I'm sure you and Justin are just like me, though. You probably, there's mornings where you feel it, you know, but then you're like,
oh, yeah.
I can't believe I even made it to this point, you know. How did that happen, you know?
There are several times I'll sit around the house and you just kind of, you know, you complain a lot and you're worried about bills, but sometimes you just got to sit around and you just kind of enjoy what you've built and what you've done. It's kind of cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, there you go, folks.
Yep.
How about that? We're going to convert this show, folks. And I know we talk so much about stuff, but seriously, go check out the Party Darkness site and do what you can to help. Do what you can to help. Whether it be a share, a like and share, or, you know, hit that help button there. What do they call it? They've got a name on it. I got to go back and look.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you know.
Donate or something. I don't know what it is.
Click on it.
There you go.
Get this perk. That's what it is.
There you go.
See the pictures you click on, it gives you a whole breakdown of everything.
Yep.
Look at all the shit you get.
I have seen all the perks. I've been involved with this since day one. I can verify that everything you can get is pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Whenever you see, and here's a little tip for anybody that does if you ever go to auctions or anything like that, when you see the word hero prop, that should perk your ears up because that's important.
Yes.
You know, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Replica is fine.
No.
But hero prop is, you know.
Hero props are the ones that you saw on screen. Like that's the, that's the lightsaber that you saw on screen, not the stunt one that they threw down the shaft or down in the trash or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, cool, man. And look at all these, man. This is so cool. It's sold out. The DJ, radio DJ.
Yes, honestly, that was the first one to get, and I think one of those is on my short, I believe, because we need a radio DJ.
Awesome.
But yes, those sold out real fast. Yes, we did.
Cool.
Very, very happy about that.
That is awesome. Well, but you know what isn't sold out, folks? You can still sponsor the wraparound. How about that? You get everything.
Yes.
You get a demon mask and an armor suit.
How cool
would that be? You know, anybody can go to all these at the 99-cent store. Why not show up in a demon mask and an armor suit, you know?
You could come to the premiere dressed as that, and we would not mind at all. You could do whatever you can go to the store. Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Absolutely. Very cool. Well, folks, we've talked about a million things, so we've got to wrap things up. We're going to convert this to a podcast. We're going to blast out everywhere. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And yes, I got a couple emails. I realize I have not posted next week's show because there's some behind the scenes stuff. It might be a Jamie painting week all week next week. We shall see.
Cool.
Checks need to clear, and if they do, which I'm sure they're going to, we're going to be back the following week. Andy understands what I'm saying.
I absolutely understand.
That's right. But don't fret, folks. We have over 1,400 episodes. If you really are just jonesing to hear me talk to somebody, we got you covered. You know, that's all I'm saying. Jeez.
Man, by the way, 14. Congratulations on that. 1,400 episodes. Good Lord.
Oh,
that's some
lot.
Work.
It's a lot.
Talk about going out and doing it yourself. Dang, man.
Oh, you have to. You have to. You know, the funny thing.
Damn, I'm impressed.
I started doing it. I did a podcast before this. I didn't know much about it and whatnot. And I had a couple co-hosts and whatnot. And it was like a paranormal thing. That was all the ghost hunting shows were popular. I don't even really.
Oh boy.
I'm very skeptical about that shit. You know.
I am 100% skeptical about that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I am the same way. So like, why am I doing this podcast about fucking ghosts? Are you kidding me? But it seemed like a good. I kind of got into the thing, and you know, next thing you know, I'm doing this thing. So finally, after a couple months of that, I'm like, it's not what I want to do. You know, I want to do an entertainment thing. And anyway, so
cool.
I started this one, but I had to let my co-host kind of go. They were kind of annoyed that I wasn't bringing them along. And man, there was this one gal. And she's like, you'll never get any guests. You'll never do any shows without me.
Oh, jeez.
And I wanted so bad the other day when we did the 1400 episode just to, I don't even know if she has the same email, like to email it to her. Like, hey, you might want to check this one out. It's number 1400. you know, but I didn't do it, but I did have the thought. Anyhow. Okay, well, folks, we will see you. Have a great weekend. Be cool. Even though I love watching them, don't be a Karen in a YouTube video. All I'm saying is my advice to you. I find them hilarious, but, you know, you don't want
be
that
one.
In your life. Yeah, just be one, man. Just be patient. Are you kidding me? Anyhow. Honestly, I live in South Florida. I watch those, and I just look for people I might recognize from the neighborhood. you know, that's... how that works, you know. Anyway, we will see you next time, everybody. Have a good one. Thanks, Andy.
Oh, thank you, man.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Pana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.